I would like to get back into 2 Peter chapter 3 again. I'm going to start out with verse 8, and I would really like to get through 13. So, so anyway, let's start. Father, we just thank you and praise you because of how wonderful you are to us. We thank you, Lord, that everything that we have is because of you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, and you finally finished blood that cleanses us. We thank you that you always allow us to come and to pray to you. And so we always, Lord, we thank you for all by your Spirit. The only thing that they will hear is your words. And we will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will truly walk in that truth, be obedient to your word, and to love you more and more. All this is good. All right, I'm going to read it, and I'll come back. Verse 8, chapter 3 of the book of 2 Peter. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up or laid bare. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen? All right. Time is short. Amen? I felt something. I didn't. But anyway, all right, I didn't, but that's fine. We all know the first book of Peter, what it's about, right? I thought for sure I taught some of it here. But anyway, we all know. So now in 2 Peter, we're talking about heresies, right? What I wanted to establish tonight, first of all, I think I said it last week, but I can't say it as much as I truly feel God wants me to. This has to be, his words have to consume us. It has to be part of our lives, especially now. We're in the last days. And it's not just knowing the word. It has to be part of our being. No mental gymnastics with it. It has to truly engulf us, captivate us, so we will be walking in the word, not just saying it. It'll be part of our lives. We'll be living it. People will see it. And the power of God will be working in us because the Holy Spirit is, we're finally listening to him. It's captivating us. We want to be obedient. We want to do this word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because God has been speaking to me very, very strongly. Jim, it's one thing you get up there and you speak the word. You give the Greek, but it has to be part of me. It has to be real in my life. When he says, do something, I have to do it. You understand? It's like getting up in the morning, putting on my pants. It has to be a total consuming part of my life because I want everything that he wants to do through me. I want that. I want to be obedient, and that sometimes I fail so terribly. But like I said in the prayer, thank you, Lord, that you forgive me when I come to you and I ask for it. So this word has to consume us. It has to be totally part of us, not just a word game that I know. Well, I read the scriptures, I know some of the Greek, big deal. But it is part of me. Am I living it? Am I being obedient to the Holy Spirit? Am I listening for his still small voice? Or am I listening to things I want to read? Do you understand what I'm saying? It has to be the Holy Spirit, not just my mental capacity. It has to be him and totally him. The air we breathe is his. And we so often forget all of these things that he gives to us. We take it for granted. It has to be totally consuming us how wonderful, how good He is, and how loving He is, how forgiving He is. But we have to be obedient to the Word, not just hear it. Did I get the point across? Time is short. Would you please turn with me to Psalms 90, verse 4, please? 4. Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. This whole Second Peter is talking about scoffers, right? Do we know any scoffers? Even in a lot of the fellowships, many scoffers. We got a lot of time. I got a lot of things I want to get done, and He's not coming back right away. But look how long He's waited now. It's a constant theme, and it's getting more and more and more as that the things of the world creep into our lives. The more we allow Satan to allow the lure of the world to come into us and entice us to go after these things, we take our mind off. Time is short. Time is short. We forget. He hasn't come back yet. So we forget. 1,000 years to Him is a day. A day is as 1,000 years. Arlene was sharing with me about my siblings. The oldest one died at 77. The next one died at 77. The next one died at 77. My baby sister's 68. Guess how old I am? 77. Time is short. I'm just joking there. You know, I don't believe in that garbage, but I'm trying to bring out a point. Time is so short. We're still involved in a lot of... I'm not going to say we. I'm still allowing myself to get caught up in some of this garbage. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's such a lure. There's so much out there trying to take our minds off. Well, that's a long way off. It's a long way off. No, it isn't. It's right around the corner. Our lifespan is one day away from being gone. One day away from being gone. It goes just like that. I don't know when. I might live to be 97. I don't think Arlene would like that. Thanks, Bob. I was waiting, you know. I've been sweating this out all night. But we don't know. I love this book because no matter where I read, I can go back and I can read it someplace. It interprets itself. It gives me such a joy to know that every answer, it's here for me. Everyone here, every answer I want, answered is here. And He answers it for me. Like you were saying Sunday, I think it was. No? Yes? Exactly. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. I get up in the morning and I look up, especially the past week, so beautiful, so clear. I want to reach up and touch it. But I know what I'm seeing from here is going to be a million times more beautiful. Amen? But life is so short and we forget. If you think about it, a guy like this, he used to live to be over 900 years old. 950, 650, 700 and something, right? Then what happened? Blood came. Right? And then it cut it down to what? 120, right? Guess where we are now? 70, maybe 80. It's shorter and shorter. So, I've got 3 more years as far as the Lord goes. Right? 70 plus 10, maybe? But we must realize that it could go just like that. What does James say? What was it, James 1:3? Life is like a vapor. We forget that. But it's so real if you allow the Holy Spirit to really work it in your hearts and your minds. It's real. Life is short. We've got to be doing what the Lord wants us to do. This is for me, okay? I'm preaching to myself. Because I fall short so often, so many times. But like I said, He's faithful. And that's why it's so important that we stay in this. Stay in this. Let this truly be our guide. Really be our guide. Not just say it. Say, oh, I read a couple chapters a day. That has to consume it. It has to be part of our life constantly. And I'm not saying you have to read constantly. Let the Word of God dwell up within you, because it's there. Everybody in this room, you study your Bibles faithfully. And if you never had the chance again, if something happened in America right now and they took all of this away from us, we'd still have it here. That's the beauty of it. Exactly. Exactly. And what he sows can't be plucked away. Amen? So, the brevity, we have to remember that, because it's there for each and every one of us, no matter what age we are. It can be gone. And then stay right there and go over to 12. That's on page 750. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of whose wisdom? His wisdom. Not some man, but his wisdom. And Proverbs, always talking about this woman, this wise woman. It's wisdom. The analogy is a woman, but wisdom. Maybe he's trying to tell us something. Wives are smarter than we are. Karen would shake her head up and down. But wisdom, his wisdom. And a lot of times I used to have trouble with Proverbs, you know, but now I don't. I understand. I understand it. Because it's the wisdom of God being brought to us through the inspiration of the writer from the Holy Spirit. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. I used to have a hard time with it. There's a lot of things that I've overcome now because of the Holy Spirit, not because of me. And I thank him for that. So in other words, you know, we must never forget that days have nothing to do with the Lord. It has a lot to do with us, though. We are consumed. We are gripped by time. He is not. He is outside of time. But we are gripped by it. We're in prison to time until we go to be with him. So we must remember to take this time that we have and gain wisdom, his wisdom, through his word to guide us. So when he's speaking to us, we're hearing him. And I used to say, well, I want the Lord to speak to me. He speaks to other people. He speaks to me every time I read his word. His word is speaking. A lot of times I'm not listening. I'll read it fast. But he's always speaking to us. All these people, they want signs and wonders, and they want to hear God's voice. Maybe someday I will. I never have. Maybe someday I will. I know someday I will, but I mean now. Maybe I will now. I don't know. If he chooses to speak to me, audibly, wonderful. But he's speaking to me every time I open this book. And he's actually speaking to me when I'm praying to him, because he's speaking to me spirit to spirit. See, that's the beauty of it. It's not this mental gymnastics. It's spirit to spirit. It's supernatural. It's beyond my reasoning, beyond my capabilities. Amen. It's a beautiful relationship we have, and it can be greater. It can be more wonderful. And I want it to be more wonderful in my life, and it's only going to come away. I have to be diligent. I have to be obedient. And I have to trust his promises. Because every promise is true. No matter what one they are, they're true. And they will all come to pass because he said it. The final and absolute authority. Amen? In verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think I shared with you on my son a few years back. We were so estranged. It was terrible. Wouldn't talk to me. And I really felt the Lord just saying, shut up from now on. Let me handle it. Leave it in my hand. It was hard, but I did. I did. And that's why I say his promises are true. When a promise comes alive in your heart, you want to share it with everybody. And this was a promise. He took care of it. Now we're getting back together. In fact, Lord willing, they might come out in October. You know, and they want to be with us. His future wife, I hope she's a future wife. But she loves me. Don't ask me why. Don't say nothing, Karen. But she got my son together, and they were trying to figure out what to get for my birthday. Okay? No, no, they're not into the Second Amendment like I am, okay? Well, it's not, no, they don't say anything, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying. But anyway, they're trying to figure out, and I always have problems with this. Always. Always. I get so frustrated. And I was out there, and she was showing me how to work it and so on. So they were just trying to figure out if they should get me a phone, a new phone, but they got me a beautiful Fire, and they were so excited because I was excited to get it. And that's what I say, God and His promise. If we'll shut up a lot of times, let Him have it. Let Him have at it. And this was a point in my life that God proved to me that He's true to His word. He'll take care of things if we let Him. At times we do have to shut up. Right, Mikey? So we were talking about that earlier tonight. But anyway, praise the Lord. So he's not slack. If you go to page 225, Habakkuk 2:22-25. Scripture interprets Scripture. Is that right? Habakkuk 2:1-3. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. The word I picked out of there, wait. 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 Sometimes that's so very, very hard. But if we're faithful and wait, he will bring it to pass in his time, right? Because everything that's done in his time is beautiful. And everything that's done in my time, it withers, it dies. But it's beautiful when he brings it to blossom. And I know the work is being done there in his life. Amen? Waiting? Let's put it this way. He has an awful lot of patience. Would you mind if I stop for a minute and get some water? I wasn't talking to you. Oh, gosh, yeah. I got to run through this. I'm getting my point across, so we're just going to go to Isaiah 30:18. That's 9:08. Isaiah 30:18. 3:0. And see if you can pick out the word I'm picking out here. There. Oh, already? Wow, thank you, Mikey. Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to... Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. Thank you, Jesus. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who run ahead of him. Wait for him. He will perform everything that he's promised. If we take it to him with a pure heart, he's going to bring it about. He will bring it about. That's his promise. And all he wants is obedience. He doesn't want sacrifice. And I was doing that for years. Oh, I got to do this. I got to get this done. I can't do this. I can't say this. I have to be careful doing this. I have to do this. I've got to go to that service tonight because I'm expected to be there. He says, no, I will change you. I will bring things about in your life where you're truly going to rest. You know, I felt I was the born-again believer. We go to church every day. Our Sabbath is every day because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath is rest. He's our rest. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He did not designate a day to jump around and worship. He designated a day to rest in and worship him in that. You see, I was under a terrible bondage, and I preached and I taught bondage for years. God set me free, set my way, and now we're involved in a fellowship. Amen? This is beautiful. I don't know where you guys, your background or anything, but we were under tremendous bondage, and I taught it because I thought that's what it's supposed to be. You can't do this. You have to do this. Terrible, awful way to live. And then the freedom comes. We found out how the true rest. If that's the only place you're going to get true rest. Amen? That's the last one I said I'd do, right? I'm going to read this because I like it. That's why I wrote it. A positive explanation of the temporary lack of fulfillment on verses 3 and 4 is found in the character of a merciful God. Found in the character of a merciful God. Although the wickedness, and this is the beauty of, because I think of myself in this, I put myself in these pictures because it's speaking to me exclusively. Although the wickedness of humankind calls for immediate action, God withholds His righteous wrath and delays judgment. Amen. I think about me. Oh, Lord. So many times, I should have died. His mercy and His grace, it's so wonderful to live that. His promises are true. When I hit that double-decker bus, I should have been gone. Amen? Verse 10, if I get back there, where am I? 2 Peter? But the day of the Lord will come, and I love this too, because you're going to tell me where you've read this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Where have you heard that before? Where have you read that before? Who said that? Matthew. Yeah. Jesus Himself. I will come as a thief. You know all about that. Nighttime. Going on those rides and stuff with the cops. Everything happens at night, doesn't it? Everything happens at night. And you don't know. You never know. Most of my dastardly deeds were done. I know all about that. But Jesus said, be ready. Be awake. Don't be slumbering. Don't fall asleep when you better be watching. You better be waiting for, because He's promised it. He's coming back for those who are looking for Him. I'm looking to go up, unless He takes me by way of the grave first. But I'm looking to go up. I believe this with all my heart, because Jesus said it. The ones that see that with the fig tree, when it blossoms, this generation shall not pass away. We saw the fig tree blossom May the 18th, 1948, the fig tree blossom. This is the generation. We're going to go. We're going to go. In which the heavens will pass away. What does that mean? Everybody says, well, it's not going to burn up. What's God say? Did he say it is? I listen to these guys, they'll say, well, that isn't really what He means. Then they'll say, well, actually it means this. If He says it's going to burn up, is it going to burn up? Does that what it mean? Is that what it means? Or does it mean something else? It's going to be burned up. If He said it, it's going to happen. Melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, or it could be laid bare. If you burn something totally up, it's laid bare, right? So eventually this will happen. Of course, we're not going to be here. One way or the other, we're not, whether it burns up or not. Because I'm going to be involved in a new heaven, new earth, where therein dwells no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sicknesses, none. Excuse me? Yeah, no more dieting. No more taking papyri pills. You know, I'm going to cut it short because we got to have time for prayer. Lord willing, I get a chance again, I'll finish it all. But I'm going to jump to 13 because I said I would close with this anyway when I was dealing with this. Nevertheless, right? Doesn't matter, right? Isn't that what it means? Nevertheless, doesn't matter. We, us and according to His what? Promise. Look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells Christ. Amen? So regardless, nevertheless, all this is ours. All these promises, all this truth, all this love, all this mercy, all this grace, it's all ours today, now, right this moment. And it will never leave us. Amen?